The Texans' 9-game winning streak came to an end yesterday as the Indianapolis Colts took them down 24-21, dropping the Texans to 9-4 on the season, while Indianapolis is back over 500 at 7-6. Andrew Luck threw for 399 yards and 2 touchdowns. You're stuttering, Stanley. Paul, what are you doing over there? T.Y. Hilton had 9 catches for 199 yards and had some very interesting things to say about NRG Stadium and the Texans when talking with the NFL Network's James Palmer after the game.
T.Y., you go for 199. Obviously, you probably wanted the 200. But what makes you play so well in this building year after year?
This is my second home.
But what?
They just give us a lot of great opportunities, man. The offensive line came up big. You know, they gave Andrew time, and, you know, me and him, you know, just did our thing today.
Ouch. Second home. Can you explain to me, and this is where I will, Chris, as the Texans coaching staff, can any of us name a Colts cornerback right now? Honestly. Yeah. Like, Nate Hairston is one. They have a bunch of no-names at cornerback.
Buster Richards.
And these guys contain DeAndre Hopkins. We can sit here and say, and we are correct, the Texans have nobody to cover T.Y. Hilton. They don't have enough speed at the cornerback spot. But can anybody name a Colts cornerback? And yet they were able to hold down
Scooter Magruder,
one of the 3 best receivers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, reflects on coaching to some extent. That's my biggest criticism of the coaching staff today, this morning. That the T.Y. Hilton against the Texans is a mismatch, but Hopkins against their corners should also be a mismatch because nobody knows who Indy's corners actually are.
Okay, but I mean, is that a criticism of the coaching or is it a criticism of Deshaun Watson and the offensive line?
All.
Yeah.
All. I'll encompass everything.
I was annoyed also
in the receivers as well, by the way.
It's
not always just like, wow, you got to scheme everybody. Wait a second. The receivers bear some responsibility in this. Where's Demaryius Thomas? Where are the tight ends?
Yeah,
where are all those guys?
Especially if we can't recognize any of these cornerbacks. Also, I'm annoyed that a receiver by the name of Pascal, who sounds like a 1700s painter,
this guy
had 68 catches and a touchdown, that Chester Rogers, a president from the 1820s, had any catches in this game. Eric Ibrin, who is a Lion. You're once a Lion, you're always a Lion. And that bum had 3 awful drops in that game. And actually, check that, 2. I gotta be fair. He's wide open, like, the whole game. I don't get it.
If you want to summarize this game, it was the 2 drives, the first 2 drives of the third quarter. I give the Texans credit. That drive, 16 plays, took basically half the quarter, mm-hmm. had the defense off the field, gave the defense like a 30-minute rest basically when they desperately needed it. O'Brien challenges, comes up short. They run that play, which scared the hell out of me, but Lamar Miller got into the end zone. Then, a couple plays later, Zach Pascal, easy touchdown over Sharice Wright. That sequence summarized the way this game went.
And in a lot of ways, I know people are frustrated that the Texans were still running the ball when they were down by a healthy margin with time, not expiring, but time winding down.
They always
down,
do it on first down,
which, well, and here's the thing. They did what they had to do on a day where they couldn't just get out there and run the ball or get easy yardage downfield. And I think they are limited to some degree by the youth on their team, by the newness on their team. Demaryius Thomas has still only been on the team for, a little over a month now? Has it even been a full month? You've got 2 rookie tight ends. Joe Webb just doesn't know where he's supposed to be a lot of the time, and I don't know whether to blame the coaches or Joe Webb himself for that, or just fate, but whatever it is, I think they're somewhat hamstrung. You can cut them some excuses for that, I suppose, because of all those reasons I just cited, but the fact of the matter is they're going to face teams that have really good defenses in the playoffs, and what are you going to do versus them versus the Colts? They got to figure it out in the next month.
Yes, they do. It's going to be very difficult, and Kiki QT coming back, Deontay Foreman being a factor.
Yes, QT.
You hope that those things are actual possibilities down the stretch.
His delicate little almost spiderweb-like hamstrings hold all my hopes and dreams. They're contained within a net made of his hamstrings, and we need that net to be strong.
We need a strong 6'7" woman to take care of him, to squeeze out all of the bad juju from his hamstring. That is not medically sound.
Yes, from his hamstring. Yes,
okay. Yes, that is not medically sound, but whatever. The Dolphins, they took down the Patriots 34-33 with a ridiculous hook and ladder play at the very end of the the game that has me questioning the existence of a football god. Wow, what a win by the Miami Dolphins. The Texans could have been the 2 seed, but they were not. And the funny thing about this play is that Rob Gronkowski was essentially a safety for the end of the hook and ladder. Didn't go so well. He basically looked like an 80-year-old man falling down a flight of stairs that didn't have life alert. Anyway, here's Gronkowski talking about trying to make that tackle.
Every time we practice it, it's for the Hail Mary, but got to be ready for anything. It's football. And the way it ended, I mean, it sucked. I mean, never really been a part of anything like that. I feel like it's going to test our character big time, how we bounce back from something like that. Got to make that tackle.
Dumb move by Belichick.
Got to make that tackle. You know, I'm sitting back there thinking, like, whoa, how many beers am I going to shotgun on the plane back? I set a record last time. This time, you know, I'm always depressed that I don't get to stay and kick it in South Beach. But I'm going to build a big old pyramid of beer cans in the back of the plane. It's going to be awesome.
Belichick
it's going to be rad.
Isn't that the only analysis anybody needs? Belichick blew it. On a play in which there was no chance, none, that Tannehill would have thrown a Hail Mary, he had Gronk out there on a play that required a tackle.
They legitimately only needed to push him out of bounds. Kenyon Drake, they were easily, if there was somebody that was a little bit faster, more mobile than Rob Gronkowski, they just needed to push Grant out of bounds.
Something.
It would have been over with the Dolphins getting to the 3-yard line.
Trying to keep the clock running down or something. you're exactly right. It was that simple.
Bizarre day in the NFL.
By the way, I object to calling it the hook and ladder. It's hook and lateral, and because this is one of those things that I didn't learn until I was like 20 years old, that it's actually the hook and lateral. My whole life, I was like, why do they call it the hook and ladder? It's not, why is it, like, I thought it was some kind of like, oh, are you building a ladder to the next receiver or something?
That kind of makes sense.
Like, in my mind, I had like this series of fire trucks and ropes and everything. It's hook and lateral. It drives me crazy because I always heard hook and ladder, and it doesn't make any sense to call it a hook and ladder.
Okay, because I thought it was some variants of chutes and ladder.
No, it's like you throw a hook, and then you throw. He runs a hook, you throw it to him, and then he laterals it to the next receiver.
Okay. So you throw a hook, and then you throw a ladder at someone.
A lateral. A lateral. You don't throw it at him.
I want to throw a ladder at someone. What happens then? Bad luck.
Fair.
Let's
they should call it a curl.
Just keeping quiet.
Call it a curling lateral.
A curling lateral. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Sorry, am I supposed to go somewhere else?
It's a button hook and lateral.
Oh, no. Are we playing Jerry Jones on Amari Cooper?
We could play Jerry Jones and Amari Cooper. I wasn't 100% sure.
By the way, let's take care of this because the CEO of the damn company is probably landing his plane right now.
What the hell's going on with my morning show?
Sometimes the news music just stops, and then
why can't we have longer news music? I know.
Is there Jonesy? Is there some reason that we can't play the news music longer? Is this legal? Is it like copyright?
I don't
or something?
Think so. Okay. Not with that kind of sound.
Okay, that's where we get confused.
All right, so we'll create a longer bed.
Is our CEO flying in on a jet of his own, or does he fly in?
I think he flies in on a helicopter.
Does he?
He just lands on the top.
I think our company's based in Philly.
Is it? No, they're not taking a helicopter from Philly.
Well, they take the helicopter from the airport. You know, they fly.
Right, no, but I'm saying, but when he flies from Philly, is he taking a private jet or is he flying commercial?
You think definitely?
No, wait a second. Our market cap is like $979 million. So we're not even billionaires yet. I don't think
we...
Do $979 million companies have their own private jet or a NetJets account or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him about this. I don't know. He's kind of an environmentalist, too.
I don't want to knock my CEO. But if you don't have a private jet, are you a CEO?
In a lot of ways, you're a better CEO because you're not spending money frivolously.
Man of the people. I need my CEO to spend money frivolously so I can believe in him.
I think you need to look into how expensive private jet travel is.
Oh, I know
it's
expensive.
Super expensive.
What is it, like $25,000 or something? Like per trip?
It depends. Well, it depends on what kind of jet you're flying and how much. But like cheapest of them, the smallest of them, are still like a few grand per hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the tax code, though? Like, how does it work when it comes to taxes?
I think they lost some of those write-offs. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Like, you can write it off as not write it off, but deduct it as some kind of expense.
Just because you can deduct something as an expense doesn't, like, negate the fact that it's an expense.
But it helps.
He has the CEO of Entercom has a job that is above all in this country, so he doesn't have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
Why are you even thinking about that? He flies his private jet, and he's going to be here. He's going to take his helicopter after he lands in his private jet from the airport, and he's going to land on top of the building.
It's a pretty good argument for having, like, you should have a small business in Vegas, like, just enough that you can always write off all your travel to and from Vegas and your stay while you're there and everything.
That's a great
just
idea.
A small business. And just eke out enough of a profit to be able to show the IRS, like, oh, yeah, I make $2,000 a year on that small luxury, on that small hotel.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get a P.O. box in Las Vegas and say, I have a business operating out of this P.O. box.
So my question is, like, so the CEO is getting here at around 2:30, according to sources, and we're doing that whole thing where I'm sure you guys have at your jobs where, like, the CEO is coming. You've got to make sure everything's clean and all that kind of stuff, and, like, all this nonsense.
Yeah.
Do I have to come back at 2:30?
You got to wear a suit.
You have to come back specifically, and this is the only reason why.
Where am I going to go?
I mean, aside from hearing his wisdom from on high,
yes.
The other thing would be that what if for some reason, like, somebody said, hey, say hi to Mike Meltzer while you're down there.
Yeah.
It's like somebody up in Philly knows who you are and is like, hey, say hi to Mike Meltzer. So then CEO's in here and he's like, hey, is Mike Meltzer in today? And somebody's going to have to say, like, oh, no, he's taking his nap.
that would not be a good look.
Just because of that, the possibility of that one scenario means that I think you have to be here.
So I got
to
come back.
Yeah, you got to get in a tuxedo. You got to be here.
I have no tuxedo. I know this. Okay. I ranted about this last Wednesday.
Well, guess what? I mean, you got a couple of hours to get a tuxedo, get it all fitted for you. You know, you can maybe make it happen at the very last second. And on top of that, I mean, look, he's probably going to ask you, like, Mike, why is Mike now my lawyer? Like, you might be his new lawyer. He might be bringing you on as legal. What? You just took your law examinations. He might be bringing you in.
You know what? You know the thing is, and this is a scary thing. How many people work on this floor? Like 70, 80? Is it 100?
I think it's 100 plus.
About 100.
There are 100 people on this floor. And either they're in the office right now or when they get here, they're going to sit down and they're going to think, I'm going to shine in this meeting, and it's going to be by asking poignant questions. I'm going to ask all the relevant, important questions, and I'm going to keep asking them even after everybody else thinks it's time to break the meeting.
I've asked them the same question the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I mean to talk to you about that. I don't think you should ask that question again.
Third time's a charm.
No, I don't think you should ask that again at all.
What about the fourth
because
time?
Because you keep asking a question that he gives you an answer to, but because you're not happy with the results, then you keep asking, like, where are we? No, you're asking him, where are we on the digital platform side of things and on podcasts and all of that? And the problem is that he can't answer it by saying, like, oh, yeah, we actually have all that nailed down and ready to go, and it's exactly the way you want it to be. It's not like they aren't working on that stuff. They're trying to figure it out just like everybody else is. Somebody's going to stand up and they're going to ask this question. Do we have that? Oh, don't worry about it. Never mind.
Can I rant about something real quick?
Yes.
All right. Here's my rant. I asked Bill O'Brien a question about a specific player who did not get a snap on defense yesterday. Here it is.
Bill, why is Aaron Colvin not getting much playing time on defense?
I think we just try to make decisions in the best interest of the team relative to him coming back from an injury. You know, where we are with Sharice. Sharice has been playing well for us. Aaron's been helping us on special teams. So we just try to play the guys that we feel like in the positions, you know, where we feel like they can execute the best for us where they're at right now.
This is what I can't figure out, okay? And I've heard this both with Deonte Foreman and Aaron Colvin, this idea of, like, This whole idea of, like, well, things are just going well enough to where we don't want to change the mix. This is one of the dumbest things I've heard. It's like, well, listen, we're running the ball well with Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue. Or, well, the secondary has been good with Joseph and Kareem and Sharice Wright. I have never heard of this kind of logic. These are positions where you want more good players. This would be like saying, like, yeah, our offense is hitting 320. We're averaging, you know, our batting average is 320. But, like, we don't need another hitter in the lineup, even if he's good, because the mix is working so well. There is no mix. There is no such thing as the mix with running backs. Well, there's no mix with running backs. They carry the ball, and the chemistry is between the line and the running back. It's not between the running backs and themselves. If Deonte Foreman can help, then get him the hell out there. Now, listen, he may not be healthy, and if so, fine. I have no issue with that. But I do not want to hear about this, well, they've got the chemistry going between Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue. There is no chemistry. None. And
well, no,
Sharice Wright. Can I random
question? Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Sharice Wright is not good. Can we stop pretending like this guy is good? His best plays are this. A guy catches the ball, he chops the ball out of their hands. Those are his best plays. I don't want to hear how he's good. Listen, it's not against him.
Of death.
Yes, listen, they picked him up late in the training camp or early in regular season. Fine. It's not his fault, but he's not that good. They signed Aaron Colvin for $18 million guaranteed. The Colts threw the football yesterday 41 times. Aaron Colvin didn't have a snap. He did not have a snap.
It's gotta
how
be,
is that
it's
possible?
Gotta, it's got to be injuries. It's got to be injuries. It's got to be ever since when he...
I hope
that,
so.
That play when he got injured where he realized that the ball had actually been thrown when the intended receiver fell on his ankle, however many weeks ago that was now. Since then, he's been largely relegated to an afterthought. It's been a bad signing so far.
It's
the
been
returns
a
are not
signing.
Good. You're right. Now, there is no mix. I would say that maybe yesterday, the argument for whatever mix you needed was... Alfred Blue looked like a more viable guy in terms of it churning out some positive yards. At one point, Lamar Miller had one touchdown and negative 5 yards rushing. He had rushed for negative 5 yards and he had a touchdown. It was astoundingly bad. It was just awful. But Alfred Blue was at least pushing the pile. You'd like to think, okay, maybe Deontay Foreman in his heft. Look. Where it is, I was kind of led to believe that maybe he was a little bit overweight. Get him all Bettis fatted up and get him out there and push the pile a
get
little
him out
bit.
There.
You want a mix? Give me a fatty out there. The problem is, they're waiting for him to get skinny. He needs to be chubbier.
Yeah, he does not need to be skinny.
You know, you basically need another quasi-offensive lineman out there to make up for the lack of actual viable ones out there.
You're right. I hope Colvin is hurt to an extent where he like really won't be 100% until next season because it is astonishing. And I'm not actually that frustrated by the performance. It's just these two things in these two arguments. Like Aaron Colvin not playing a snap. It's not like
he's in a bust.
It has been a bust so far, but it's injury.
It's got to be. For him not to play a snap. No, think about it, though. So far, how many games did he play before he got injured?
It would have been four because he got hurt in the Colts game.
They were trying to figure out exactly the right role for him in terms of, but since then, the fact that he didn't play at all yesterday, that's clearly injury-related. That's 100% injury-related, unless there's something else we don't know about, because it's not like he's your worst option at defensive back.
But of the
multiple corners that played yesterday.
I was under the impression that he could play a little slot and a little outside. They clearly have no faith in him as an outside corner. When Kevin Johnson went down, like he was still the slot receiver. The slot corner.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Now, listen, to be clear, though, that was all based on conjecture on our part that he could play. He said he could play outside. Nobody really thought that, nobody ever came out and said, we plan on using him heavily on the outside.
That's another weird one. Isn't it sometimes harder to play in the slot because of these water bug receivers you're always facing who are, like, unbelievably quick?
The scary thing about slot is that it's really, from season to season, it's hard to even tell who's actually a good slot receiver or slot corner or not. It's like some of it's just the matchup luck.
We're back tomorrow at 6. We finish up with Clowney's new cologne. Texans Radio is next.
If you're not where you're going before you're supposed to be there.
Luck, long count, trying to get the Texans to jump off. Luck under center, and Clowney jumped.
Neutral zone in practice.
Yep.
Defense number 90.
Are you ever actually even there at all?
I think we all saw the same thing. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, we all saw the exact same thing.
Off C-Day, the new fragrance by Jadevion Cloney.
Obviously glad it worked in our favor.